listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today are Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission, the board charged with regulating legal marijuana, is scheduled to meet for the first time next week, and the chair of the panel, Stephen Hoffman, says the job of regulating recreational marijuana in the Bay State will be done fairly, safely, and on time. And he says he sampled a little weed recently.
My wife and I went to visit some friends of ours in Breckenridge, Colorado over July 4th weekend of 2016. Went to a store, bought a t-shirt, bought a joint, smoked it, and watched the fireworks.
Ron, pot supporters have long been concerned about some commissioners not supporting last year's legalization ballot question. Should this revelation by Hoffman put them somewhat at ease going forward?
Well, it probably won't, and I don't need to know if he's smoking weed or not. What I need to know and what I believe is that the commission is entrusted to enforce the laws fairly and regulate. It's a regulatory commission, so when I hear people say you should stack it with pro-marijuana advocates, I don't agree with that. Now, I voted against it, so maybe that's why I feel that way, but they are designed and assigned to support the law, regulate it fairly, put reasonable restrictions on, and respect the referendum.
Mike, marijuana shops are supposed to be able to open next July 1st. Will Hoffman's hope that the job will be done on time be realized? He wouldn't go so far as to guarantee it.
I think there's a very long journey ahead of us in the state. And frankly, my big concern is why they're reinventing the wheel. We already have an apparatus for selling a controlled substance, and that is alcohol. And I would like to have seen the sale of marijuana handled by the ABCC, frankly, and not necessarily duplicate a whole bunch of laws and a whole bunch of bureaucracy. We know how to handle alcohol more or less, and I think that should have been the guide for marijuana.
This week, toymaker Lego announced it plans to cut 1,400 jobs worldwide amid sagging revenues. Its U.S. headquarters are based in Enfield, Connecticut, where more than 700 people work. There's no word how many folks might lose their jobs locally. Brian Chodowski, Enfield's town manager, says they're willing to listen when it comes to possible economic incentives to keep as many Lego jobs there as possible.
We value them as a corporate citizen in our town, and we hope that they will continue to be corporate citizens here for many years to come.
A Lego spokesperson says they do plan to keep that office open in Enfield. So, Mike, are economic incentives such as tax breaks something town leaders should think about to keep as many people working in Enfield as possible?
Well, I think that that's certainly something they should consider. I also think Lego should consider lowering the price of little pieces of plastic so maybe they'll sell more and they'll be in a better shape. And this is from the grandpa who just, with his wife, bought our four-year-old nephew his first Lego set, and it was a little bit of a sticker shock for me.
Ron, is it important not only for Connecticut but also on the other side of the border in western Massachusetts to keep not just the jobs but the name recognition of a popular toy company in the area?
Well, I miss the Lego explosion, so I'm an outsider looking in on this. But I do think it's important to do what you reasonably can. But you also have to keep in mind the communities are not the corporate owners. There's only so much they can do. We've had this with the Springfield hockey team and negotiations over the years with the city. What can you do to keep us? Unfortunately, they didn't have to buy the team. There's only so much a town of Enfield or Western Massachusetts could do, but as Mike says, I think they should explore reasonable possibilities.
Recently, a former Boston City Councilor wrote in Boston Magazine that Springfield should become the new capital of Massachusetts. Michael Ross says the State House in Boston should be sold off for condos and lawmakers should move west. He says it's one way to jumpstart Springfield's economy.
Other states have done it. You know, dozens of states have relocated their state capital. Many have done so with an eye towards economic development.
Mike, in this piece, he compared Springfield to Detroit and said the city is, quote, dying. He did backpedal a little bit on that, though, when we interviewed him. But is that a fair description of Springfield?
Springfield is not dying. Springfield is not dying. Springfield is not dying. Let me just say that three times. I love the idea of moving either state office buildings to Springfield, much less the state capitol. I don't agree with the idea that the largest city in the state, the most influential city in the state, should be a state capitol. Look to our neighbors in New York City, and Albany. I think New York probably benefits from having the capital of Albany. So as someone who's a Springfield partisan, come on over. The water's fine.
Ron, what do you think about this idea and his description of Springfield?
Oh, I believe Springfield should be the capital because the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy told me so. I don't know why he brings this up. If anybody has a case to be the capital, it might be Worcester because it's central location. But this is not going to happen. It's fun to talk about. I can't talk about it without smiling. And Mike's right. Springfield is not dying. It's starting to make something of a comeback. And it should be allowed to do that, but the capital will be Boston until our great-grandchildren have their own children.
Finally, the New York Times this week reported the Yankees have accused the Red Sox of stealing their signs on what pitch is coming to the batter. They accused the Sox of using an Apple Watch in the dugout to help with this, which is against Major League Baseball rules, and the Red Sox did levy their own complaint against the Yankees. Ron, stealing signs in baseball is about as much of a tradition as having a hot dog at the ballgame. What do you think about all this?
It is, but what is a big debate in baseball now is the place of technology. It is a very traditional, still an old-fashioned sport. It's trying to tiptoe into the technology age with replay and a lot of other things that are not natural to the sport. And one thing, this is a scandal. One thing it's done is it's forcing baseball to look at just how much technology and in what ways it will accept. There's a lot of gray areas. And this is going to bring to the forefront just how much newfangled gadgetry will be allowed.
Mike, is this just a lot of talk between two teams, rivals, locked up in a pennant race, or do you think there's something here?
I've tried to underscore for the time I've been here on the short list that I know nothing about sports, and I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about this other than I will say, go Sox, because I know that's what I'm supposed to say at a time like this. I don't think anyone ought to be surprised. Technology is all part of our lives in every way, shape, and form. So the fact that they're using an Apple Watch, I'm sort of amazed that anyone is using an Apple Watch for anything, frankly. But if they're using an Apple Watch, this is to be expected.
Ron, this isn't the first time this has happened in New England. Of course, there was Deflategate, and before that, a camera incident with the New England Patriots filming New York Jets practices. What does this do to the reputation of New England sports teams as far as their integrity?
I understand the Bruins are looking at expanding the width of the nets that they're shooting at in the periods that they're shooting there. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good. Most of the country hates the New England teams, and even the Red Sox. They have a national fan base, and they have a national anti-base as well. I guess we have to accept that. But we dig our own grave sometime, too, because these are, in the sports world, somewhat egregious, and we do them. So I guess we're going to have to live with that reputation.
Well, I don't need to decode the sign I'm getting from my producer that it's time for us to wrap it up. Ron Chmielewski of the Springfield Republican and Mike Dobbs of the Reminder Newspapers, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you to our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch The Shortlist at any time, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.